have no incidents to report at the time. If I see something, or if you see something, you can call me at 475-1080 so I can report it to all of your fellow travelers. Current temperatures, Salinas is at 56. Watsonville's also at 56 degrees. And in Monterey, it's 56. We are, however, at 61. We're cruising on up there. And the official time is 10:06 and 30 seconds on this Saturday, June 19th, 2010. Up next is the Saturday special with MZ. Stay tuned. KSCO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
How are you feeling today?
I'm good. How are you?
Dripping wet.
Really? Is it raining?
No.
Oh.
I went to eat breakfast in the village here at KSCO North and lost track of the time. And I looked at the clock and it was 9:57.
Wow.
And I was about 10 minutes away from ground zero. That's, you know, here where I'm talking to you from.
Yeah.
And so I had to do something I don't do very often, and that's run like hell.
You ran?
I'm dripping wet. I'm afraid that the microphone is so drenched that it's soon going to fail, and you might have to take over the whole program,
Nikki.
So be prepared,
weird.
Okay?
Right.
All right. Yeah, it's going to be one of those unusual Saturday specials where I have no idea what's going to happen, no particular topic or guest. We call it Caller's Right to Choose. We might also call it something new. We might call it Special Request. But, you know, before we do any of that, let's just start the show.
Good morning. A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time, we've got tunes, we've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go, it's today, you know, on KSVO Radio.
Well, I don't know about you, but it'd be nice to have some fun on the Saturday special today, you know? So much negativity going on in the world, but there's so much to be thankful for, too. And, I don't know, I get on the radio and I feel like I want to have some fun here in the sandbox. So why don't you help me get ready to call 479-1080 in area 831. Let's have some fun for the next 2 hours. Stay with us.
Good morning. Now stay right here on KSCO Radio.
Yeah, okay. So I don't know whether it's appropriate to play the Crossfire, because it's okay for it to be controversial today, you know? Or should we just play the special fanfare music? I don't know. Let's just see what happens. Yeah, let's do that. Okay. Talk about? What do you want to talk about, Nikki James? Anything?
I was on the telephone. I was working.
What'd you say?
I said I was on the phone.
Oh. Well, so you want to talk on the phone? To
no.
People who are calling in to be on the radio.
Well, yeah, if they call in the call-in line, but that was the business line.
Oh, I got you.
Remember, I have to multitask.
You sure do, and you do a wonderful job. How did you learn to be such a multitasking person?
I don't know. Maybe it was my parents
pretty
taught
cool.
me how to do it.
You know, I was thinking, the show is just going to evolve, but right now, you know, on the way back up from breakfast, maybe this is why I was late. Because I was sort of grooving to the music. Why don't we just play some music on the Saturday special today? You want to do that?
Sweet, love it.
Here, let's just do this one. Yeah, this one, right out of the iPod here. Chiffons from 1963 on your favorite radio station. What is going on here? All right, listen, you are listening to KSCO, your favorite radio station, and we are a talk radio station. But today, during the Saturday special, we have no idea what's going to happen, so I figure we play some music. But there is someone calling. Is that Tim Scully, our Tim Scully?
Yes.
Hi, Tim Scully.
Well, I wanted to let you know I haven't even cut the promo yet, but we're starting driver's seat Wednesday at 7 p.m.
Driver's seat. So you're coming back on the air with us for people who like to know about cars and things, right?
Yes.
Okay.
We're starting way back. The first show, we're starting with the Model T and the real old stuff. And as the show progresses, you know, there'll be a timeline as we move forward.
Right.
But we were going to do Thursday, but that's the Let's Talk Fishing.
Uh-huh.
And so we'll be Wednesday from 7 in the evening, right after the afternoon drive till 8 o'clock.
And you've got a tall order to fill there, Tim. You know why?
Why?
Because you know what we have on at 7 o'clock right there on Wednesday nights right now?
Alex Jones,
right. Yeah, and you know, you're going to be dealing with people who are very angry that Alex Jones isn't there. So what you're going to have to do is you're going to have to come up with a program that is so captivating that people feel ashamed that they've been angry that Alex Jones isn't there, because they'd rather listen to you anyway.
Well, when I do listen to Alex, I get a little bit claustrophobic. I don't know that.
You mean a little of him goes a long way?
Not that. It's more, you know, I'd much rather have a little bit livelier, more positive. It's always so negative and, you know, the world collapsing.
Well, you're going to do something about that anyhow. So that'll be cool.
We
great.
Will.
Well, welcome back. Does that start this week?
It starts Wednesday, yep.
All right.
And Michelle, I've got a co-host named Michelle, who's been a long-time auto mechanic, so there's going to be the two of us doing the show.
Terrific. Okay, well, welcome back.
All right, and
okay,
thanks for
Driver's Seat Show. Now, it wasn't called that last year. It was called something else, right?
No, it was Driver's Seat.
Oh, my gosh, I feel like a fool. I didn't even realize that was the name of it. I thought, never mind. Anyhow, so Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. starting this Wednesday on your favorite radio station.
All right.
Thanks, Scully. Thanks, Tim. Thanks for your call to the Saturday special. Peter and Ben Lohman, you're up next. What's up?
Yes, good morning. I'm very happy to hear that Tim Scully is going to be back on the air, because I do know some people who work on cars as a hobby, and they liked his show.
Yeah.
And they missed it. So, but speaking of missing shows, personally, I've always enjoyed the golden age of radio during Charlie Friedman's hour. And I'll tell you why. My mother has dementia, and when I get off of work and we have dinner together, I like to take her for a little drive, and we listen to KSCO, and she really, really enjoyed the golden age of radio, and so did I. It helped us to avoid having to talk about anything, and we listened to great theater of the mind.
You are one of many, many people who have expressed displeasure with that programming decision. And I must stand up and take full responsibility for that. Because I decided that though Golden Age of Radio is a wonderful program and it appeals to a lot of people, particularly older people, I don't know how many younger people would be interested in it at all. I think everybody should, but, you know, what do I know?
Actually, I do know a couple of younger people who enjoy Theater of the Mind.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it shouldn't be too difficult for us to actively seek and obtain sponsors for that, because that's always the problem.
I understand that, and I wish I had a business, because I would be more than happy to sponsor that. But I'm just a private individual.
Well, you can sponsor it as a private individual.
But I'm not rich.
Do you have to be rich?
Yes.
How rich do you have to be?
Well, how much are you charging for
How much do you think it costs?
Oh.
So, because you've made an assumption that you have to be rich to sponsor anything on KSCO.
Well, how many is a Brazilian?
Say that again?
Never mind. I have no idea. I was thinking maybe a couple of $100 per episode.
Well, if we could do that, it would be on in about... I would cancel the Saturday special. You want to do that? You want to do that? And we can just play Golden Age of Radio for the rest of this whole Saturday special. What do you think?
No, because I would miss you. I would miss listening to your witty repartee with whoever you're calling.
All righty. Well, listen, we're working on it. And see, it's just a constant flow of action at KSCO all the time. See, most radio stations in this world, large and small, corporate-owned and not, operate by just as a conduit to put other people's programming out on their own. There's so much syndicated programming available via satellite and internet feed these days that, you know, people can actually program their own radio stations on the internet. And, you know, if you put together something that people like to listen to, then people are going to come to it. They're going to gravitate to it, whether it's an over-the-air station or whether it's on the internet, or if it's an intercom blasting in town somewhere, if the laws allow that. If you put out good content, people are going to listen. And in the case of television or video, people will view if you put out good content. So that's always the challenge for us, to put out good content and, you know, try to get the content sponsored so that we can continue to put out the good content. It's always sort of what do you call it, a treadmill.
I can understand that.
Yeah.
And it's interesting.
So every once in a while you hear ads on KSCO where we're reminding everybody who's listening, hey, if you like the radio station and you want us to continue and help us get even better and put out even less canned programming and even more original programming, then tell every sponsor that you hear on KSCO. Tell try to make a mental note of every ad that you hear. And when you're out and about doing whatever you do during the day, make it a point to go into those businesses and say, hey, thanks for sponsoring KSCO and making a very unusual radio station possible. Because people have said to me many, many times over the years, I've never, ever heard a radio station like this, particularly in a smaller market. So, yeah, that's the name of the game. And we have such a collection of creative, eclectic people in the Santa Cruz and Monterey Bay area that, you know, it's not real difficult to get interesting people to come and do programs on the radio station. But doing all of that and, you know, doing the sales and so forth is sometimes a challenge. So we like to put that out. Anyhow, thanks for calling and letting us know that you are one of many people who would like to have a Golden Age of Radio back. And, you know, we might well bring it back on the weekend and not in the afternoon drive program, because that's a possibility, too.
If you like it,
you like it anytime, right?
You bet.
Okay, Peter.
But it's not always convenient for me to listen to it. But and those weekday evenings is great, and if I knew exactly what time on the weekend, I would make a point to listen to it.
Well, as soon as we know and as soon as we have it come back, we will put out a promo.
Yeah, and I do really love listening every day to Charlie Friedman and to Dr. Corey Gove and Rose and the morning team every morning.
Great. That's a promo for most of our whole lineup. So thank you very much.
You're very welcome. You have a great day, sir.
You too. There's Peter and Ben Lohman. That opens up lines at 479-1080. Nikki, I think you should run a commercial break, and you and I can discuss whether or not we need to rehook up. I'm hearing a hum on this end, but it's not terrible. You're hearing it on that end?
Yeah, I'm getting a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay,
so let's do the commercial break. It's your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO, the Saturday Special. It's an open mic program, also known as Caller's Right to Choose. Not really sure what's going to unfold. You can sort of decide the topics, and if I like the topics that you wish to bring up, then we will continue, and it might evolve into something. Otherwise, we can play some music. We can play some, we can do some name that tune type stuff. We can play some obscure music, you know, from a while back, and see if any of you know who it is, and so forth. Anyhow, all that's coming up on the Saturday Special, so stay with us.
President Barack Obama says that state and local governments should have some say over gun control and that he believes in a common sense approach to gun control. However, translate the president's intentions, one thing is certain, it's going to cost a whole lot more to buy guns and ammo in the future. So before that future arrives, head to the giant TS gun show at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds on Tully Road in San Jose this weekend. You'll find everything under the sun for the hunter, sportsman, and collector, including guns, knives, antiques, military goods, sporting goods, books, coins, ammo, jewelry, cases, safes, and accessories. Go early to the Giant TS Gun Show for the best deals this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission is just $8 per person, and children 12 and under get in free when accompanied by a parent or legal guardian. All local, state, and federal laws will be followed. It's going to cost a whole lot more to own handguns, rifles, and shotguns in the future, and the future is coming fast. So head to the Giant TS Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds and save big.
Don't put off till next year what you can create today. With great deer season deals going on right now, you don't have to wait another day to get your project started with John Deere. Unbeatable financing options and savings up to $400 off make today the day for you to own a new John Deere. Great deals on versatile select series tractors, efficient easy track mowers, powerful compact utility tractors, and unstoppable Gator utility vehicles, as well as amazing savings on dozens of incredibly versatile attachments, mean John Deere has the value you want on the tools you need to take your vision from your head to your land today. John Deere has the great deals to get you started. The only question is, what will you create? For details on savings and financing options, see Pringle Tractor, your local John Deere dealer this deer season. Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas, or online at PringleTractor.com.
We are celebrating and you're invited. Hi, I'm Jamie Ellison, owner of Santa Cruz Core Fitness, and we're celebrating our first anniversary. We've got demos from all of our 20 award-winning practitioners. Massages, posture analysis, body composition, nutrition, you name it, and we have it to get you healthy and keep you healthy. Music from Wasabi, prize giveaways. Join us Saturday 12 to 6, Santa Cruz Core Fitness at 317 Portrero, opposite the Gateway Plaza on River Street. A proud member of Think Local First.
And here we are at the California State Budget Demolition Derby. Pulling out to a fast start is Senate candidate John Lear, who kapow, just squash budget reform. Oh, unleashing a tidal wave of red ink. I've never seen anything like it.
As an assemblyman, John Laird ran the budget committee, where he blocked reforms that would have prevented California's budget meltdown and authored a $23 billion tax hike. Howard Jarvis Taxpayers Association President John Kupal.
John Laird also voted for billions of dollars in new spending, debt, and taxes. And while California sank deeper in debt, John Laird took a 17% pay raise for himself, then took a job on the state's waste board, where he collected $132,000 a year to attend just one meeting a month.
John Laird, wow, he's more than a fender bender. He's a one-man budget wrecking crew. Ow!
Paid for by Jobs PAC, a bipartisan coalition of California employers, not authorized by a candidate or a candidate control committee.
This wet winter is adding tons of brush to your property's wildfire fuel load. Now for some good news from Bruce McCampbell of Turnpike Development. Turnpike's Hydro Axe Mulching Service can turn your weeds and brush into soil-conserving mulch just like that. And brush mulching is good for your soil, good for preventing fires, and good for preventing erosion. Don't wait until it's too late. Pick up your phone and call for Turnpike's Hydro Axe. The Hydro Axe will shred and mulch your coyote brush, manzanita, and poison oak choked acreage and clear your fire breaks faster than you can say lickety-split. Turnpike Development can also handle all your excavation, septic, drainage, and utility needs. Turn your fire hazard into a soil-conserving mulch. Call Turnpike Development today for fast, safe, and cost-effective brush clearing. That's Turnpike Development, 831-818-1712. 818-1712 or turnpikedevelopment.com. That's turnpikedevelopment.com. If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Hello, Charlie Friedman here. Listen to the things your friends and neighbors are doing for themselves with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
Xbox 360 repair.
Solar energy kits. Musical Tesla coil.
Video output for my home media center.
Building a new server.
Repairing a student radio station.
More RAM and a sound card.
DSL line.
Network printing, scanning, and faxing for dentists.
Replacing antivirus on 12 machines.
Jones.
Wireless network for court reporter agency.
Diagnosing sound card problem.
Building a 5-kilowatt amplifier.
Ham radio antenna.
If electricity flows through it, you can save a lot of money by doing it yourself with the help of the experts at Santa Cruz Electronics. Voted best electronics store 2 years running. Call Santa Cruz Electronics today at 831-479-5444 or visit at 2808 SoCal Avenue in Santa Cruz. Do it yourself and save money with the help of Santa Cruz Electronics.
See you on the Saturday special with Nikki James, the pilot in command here. We're going to play a little something here that's called Bye Bye, B-U-I, B-U-I, Miss American Pie. Or Bye Bye American Pie, that's what it's called, okay? Take a listen.
A long, long time ago, we used to get our food homegrown, and toothpaste used to make you smile. It used to be you'd shop with ease, never eating antifreeze. You planned to keep on living quite a while. But now our goods are all delivered from somewhere on the Yangtze River. No one knows the source there, so you might find some horsehair. But if corporations make a buck, they don't give a flying. Peking duck. And with this system we get stuck today, it makes you sigh. Now when you buy an American pie, your grandma didn't bake it, it was made in Shanghai, where they engineered the apples to be juicy, not dry. But the crust is made of cardboard and lye. Don't feed it to your dog, he might die. Now did you eat a tasty cake, and did it make your stomach ache? I could have said I told you so. And the reason you are looking one is some guy took bribes in Szechuan, so you just bit into little Debbie's toe. And now the toys you bought from Fisher Price have toxins deemed unsafe for mice, and Elmo tends to wheeze, 'cause he's laced with PCBs. But all my problems seem so far when I see my cheap new DVR. I'll even brush my teeth with tar, and you will see that I'll buy from some young guy. I drive a Chevy and it's heavy, but the price is too high. Soon $20 will buy a car from Shanghai. And honey, that'll be the day we all die.
I guess I came through okay. Bye-bye American Pie by the Capitol... What is it? The Capitol something? That's actually a video by the written and performed by the Capitol Steps. That was emailed to me in a video. If you want me to share that to you, shoot me an email, mz@ksco.com, and I will be happy to do that. God, you know, what happened to me earlier this week when I got up here to KSCO North, I was quite upset when I learned that I didn't have any internet service. And, you know, you feel it's a feeling worse than naked, at least for me. Now maybe I'm much too attached to technology, much more so than I should be. But, I mean, yeah, what am I unique in that regard? I mean, how many of you in KSCO land listening to me now just feel horribly stressed when you can't get on the internet because you can't function without the internet? And by the way, my internet was down for, I don't know, good at least 26 hours that I know of. And who knows how long it was down before I even got here. It might have been down a week or it might have been down an hour. But it was just so, so frustrating and so irritating to get on the telephone and call, in my case, AT&T DSL, and be connected to someone in Pakistan whom you can't understand, who says, "I'm sorry, sir, let me see if I could help you." And and what happens is you end up spending an hour to 2 hours through a combination of being on hold and waiting, you know, saying your call is important to us and so forth, and not getting any satisfaction out of it, only to find 24 hours later that there was an outage, you know, in the whole area that where everybody was down. Wouldn't you think they would tell you that first thing when you call them? It's really become sort of ridiculous that we have become so connected to technology and also electricity. Yeah, and also communications. Remember, when was it, a year and a half, 2 years ago, when someone cut a fiber cable, I think, in South San Jose or Morgan Hill area, and most of Santa Cruz County and a lot of North Monterey County and much of Santa Clara County was not only without internet, but without any communications whatsoever. Even your favorite radio station couldn't do what we do so well during an emergency. People love to call and use KSCO as a method to connect with the community when people's power is out in an earthquake or a fire or a flood or just an unexplained power outage. And we couldn't even do that then because everybody's phone line was out. Everybody's landline was out. Everybody's wireless was out. So, wow, we have become quite dependent. Anyhow, if you want to give us a call, join in the conversation. It's 479-1080 in area 831. That'll connect you to KSCO, and we will put you on the air here. Our next caller is John and Salinas. John, you're on the air on KSCO with MZ. Hey, John.
There's an article in the paper, the Sentinel, today that the county employees are going to take two more furlough days for a total of 15. I need some help. You said you had the smartest audience on radio.
Did I say that?
Yeah.
Well, we require that people be intelligent in order to be permitted to listen.
Probably we do,
yeah.
So then there's probably somebody that can out there can help me. What do we as taxpayers gain by 15 furlough days? And would we not be better off if we reduced the income by that percentage? In other words, whatever, so say a county employee makes $200 a day, and if they're off 15 days, well, how much is that? $2,500 or something?
Yeah.
So if they took a percentage drop in pay and work those 15 days, would we not be better off? And if we're not doing that, why aren't we doing that? And there's somebody out there can help me.
Is there somebody out there who can help, John?
Yeah, I can answer that.
Yeah.
But what are we gaining by 15 furlough days other than less service?
Well, we're getting less service and less, less outgo. Less revenue flow. I mean, so that means we're saving the cost. Now, there are those who will argue that saving money is more important than not having some bureaucrat standing behind a counter. You know, I mean,
well,
someone might say that.
How are you, explain to me, Michael, how we're saving money? I'm paying the same amount, aren't I?
You mean in your taxes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So where am I saving money?
You're going to have
to help me see the benefit.
I don't see that there's a benefit except that, you know, we're not digging ourselves into oblivion as fast. That's a benefit, I suppose.
Well, then wouldn't we be better off to drop their wage, the percentage of 15 furlough days?
Okay,
and
that's
have
very,
them work.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
And then have them work those 15 days.
I think you could have a point there. Hello, you're on the air. Who's this?
Hey, this is Brad.
Brad, are you calling to answer John's question?
I am.
Okay, good.
Reason is because with a furlough day, their pension or retirement will still be based on their original pay, not the reduced pay that results from the furlough.
Oh, okay. Now, for some reason, John dropped off. I had meant for John to be able to, engage with you. But that, so I think that if John were on the line with us, he would say, well, how does that help us?
Well, I'd say it doesn't help you, but it allows the the people who are working for the county not to have to basically go in and completely redo their contracts. That basically they can just come in, because most of these furloughs are considered temporary. So they have to, like, renegotiate them every 6 months or every year or something like that. But the long run being is they're much more willing to agree to this, to have a, temporarily lose money with the idea that it's not going to affect their retirement. And they're just, temporarily, putting up with a lack of funds to try and help the city or the county out, who are, their bosses and the community, hopefully, that they live in also.
Right. Okay.
Well, that's it.
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you very much for your call to the Saturday special. Open lines at 479-1080. Open lines, which means you can call and set the topic yourself if you want to. We introduced a new program this week on your favorite radio station on Thursday at 2 o'clock in the What's Left slot. We put in the world premiere of Dr. Future. And Al Lundell and his Awake Media team did their first program. Anybody out there heard that or have any comments? I'd be very interested, and I'm sure Al and the crew would be very interested in your first impressions of the program. That was to replace David Corsi, who will be a fill-in host on KSCO because he had other engagements starting last Thursday. So the Dr. Future program will be on your favorite radio station, and I would be very, very interested in anybody. Is there anybody out there who happened to hear that broadcast? Please call in and give us your impressions here. Mike in Santa Cruz, welcome to the Saturday special. You're on the air.
Hello?
Hey.
Who's this?
This is MZ.
I'm on the air.
You are?
This is Mad Mike in Santa Cruz.
Why do you call yourself Mad Mike?
Because that's what everybody gave me. I had an out-of-body experience. I'm Mad Mike the Wonder Dog. I had an out-of-body experience once while I was tripping on LSD that I became a dog. But
I
think it was more than that. I was like a La Bahia apartment.
Good. Okay. Well, as long as you talk fast, you're a good caller. People won't be put to sleep by hearing you.
Yeah. I got rapid fire because I got so much on my mind. But I was listening to the food chain today and about illegal immigration and how they was since the World War II, we have allowed illegals over here to pick the food and stuff like that. You know. But then after the war was over, everybody came back, and then Americans sort of like relegated the job of growing crops and stuff like that to illegals and Mexicans and migrant workers and stuff like that, and then nobody wants to do it anymore. I mean, almost, all the small farms are becoming a dangerous species. Everything is Monsanto, big mega farms.
Small anything has become an endangered species, Mike.
Yeah, and, like somebody, Mike Olson or somebody said that the best thing to do was to give them, $50 an hour to farm. Then you have a lot of Americans, but that would raise, and that was ridiculous because that would raise the price of food up astronomically and stuff like that. But I was thinking if they, a lot of Americans, a lot of homeless people, a lot of people are out of work. They are like almost like a midlife crisis, but it's worse than that because they're trying to get retrained, retool. All our jobs are getting outsourced, and everything is becoming services. We don't manufacture anything here anymore. But there always be farm work and farm stuff like that, and to feed America, and we need that. And if I was thinking about a project where it could put a lot of homeless people to work, like the homeless gardens first started out like that. It put a lot of homeless people to work. Now there's a bunch of, I have to say this, lesbians who just not homeless and who taken over the place, and they just hire whoever they want now, and mainly it's people who are in houses and stuff like that. So, but if a lot of homeless people could get job skills, learning how to farm, they've got plenty of ag land here, stuff like that.
Yeah, they do, and they have homeless garden projects and things like that.
Yeah, but that's what I was just saying. The homeless garden project don't necessarily hire a lot of homeless people. They hire a lot of students, yuppies. I mean, you'd be surprised. It's rare that there's homeless, somebody homeless working there nowadays. That, the way it first started out that way, maybe when they reopen the thing up in Poconip, maybe it'd be some more job openings. But,
when is that supposed to happen, do you know?
I heard that they finally approved it, but there's some opposition against it. There's still a lot of opposition against anything that's in everybody's best interest, you know, especially from the Republicans, conservatives, neocons. But the liberals are just, a lot of liberals are doing nothing. They're so involved in their own little stupid world that they're letting everything, all the momentum of everything of change slip by us and not doing what they're supposed to be doing. On this question of legal immigrants, if we had more people, more Americans willing to do farm work, there would be less of that over there. And then Americans need jobs, and they need to get back to fundamental, maybe take a step backwards instead of too much of, like, you can't get these kids these days, they're on the internet, they latte sipping, they're so tippet, weak, they're not going to go out there and pick strawberries, grapes, or lettuce, and nothing like that. But they need to. We need people like that. To everybody ain't gonna be able to be a civil engineer and a doctor or something like that. They're gonna still need people for labor intensive stuff. And farm work is a noble work. It feeds the people. So like, and you can make a good living out of it. If you haven't had all these things that Bill Clinton and everybody else put in that throw wrenches in the monkey work. I mean, like it's that little cartoon or parody you just had about we're getting our lettuce or something from Shanghai. You know.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's the truth, you know, and that's what we need to do. Americans need to take care of their own and go back to some fundamental basics stuff like that.
Well, everybody says that, but everybody's doing the opposite. So don't you think that the only way that's going to happen is if it starts at the local level? Because I think there's sensitivity of that toward the local level. There certainly isn't a corporate mentality at the Santa Cruz City Council. You know, am I right?
Yeah, that's one thing I give them. They're not really so corporate. I have to, you know, they keep Walmart out. They do all this stuff. They try to keep it so the local
I don't know if the city council is keeping Walmart out. I think I don't think Walmart has ever even attempted to come in.
Oh, well, something was going on 41st Avenue, a big box store that was trying to open up.
Yeah. Whenever there's a big box store that is proposed, I would say it's even with the exception of Costco.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't quite understand why they didn't scream when Costco was proposed.
Because
lot of the small business owners screamed.
Yeah, but a lot of people who work for the city and the county, they shop at Costco to get discounts. So that's the reason why they didn't scream. They were cutting their own little bread basket. But what I was trying to say is God, we got to do something about this. We're being invaded. This can't keep going on. We can't have everybody over here. I'm Mexican descent.
Tell us about yourself. You call the station occasionally. What do you do?
Right now, I'm a homeless vet. I have mental health issues. I'm staying out in the nature reserve right now. But that's only temporary. I used to have a drug and alcohol problem. Now I got 22 months clean and sober, so I'm getting my life together.
That's great, Mike.
Yeah, but I had to stop doing drugs and alcohol. A lot of homeless people who are making their own problem worse by doing drugs and alcohol, and they're definitely not helping. They need to get jobs, and jobs they could be sustainable jobs in agriculture and like homeless. If they expand the homeless garden project to teach homeless people how to grow organic vegetables, so it's a win-win situation. Give them jobs and give them a fast track to get some housing, get off the street in the cycle of homelessness.
Right.
And we need to have more, like you said, the grassroots. It needs to start at a local level grassroots kind of movement where people are starting to do organic farms and hiring people who are homeless and stuff like that and teaching them new skills and people who are changing their jobs. A lot of people used to work in Silicon Valley. Now, you know, I know some of them, their unemployment is running out and all kinds of stuff. You know, they have to do something. Even if that means go out in the field and pick grapes, lettuce, or whatever, they have to do this to put food on the table. I'm sure they would do that instead of robbing a bank. That's the only option they're left with nowadays. It seems like to go rob something, steal something, or to work. So I think people like me and everybody would love to go out in the field and work, get our hands dirty, and you learn something.
So, Mike, let me get this straight. You're not currently living at the homeless shelter, or you are?
No, they got too many rules and this. It's unsustainable. There's a lot of tweakers over there. I hate that place. it kind of like it was a damned if they did, damned if they didn't situation. I guess the city council had to do something, or the city had to do something against the homeless thing. But a lot of people get comfortable and with being a perpetual homeless. I mean, they just all they do is hang over there all day. They get free meals. They get to put their stuff there.
Isn't there a limit to how long people can stay there?
They got a lot of rules. You got to be clean and sober, stuff like that. Homeless people can't. They got some rules to get stay there. I don't know what the situation is because I don't even take showers there. I take showers elsewhere. I don't.
So where do you live and how do you live?
I live out in the nature reserve where I figure the rats have a right to stay there. Even a rat has a hole to go to. Then I'm a vet. I'm a vet. I'm American. I didn't swim over the Rio Grande to get here. All my family, father and father before that and father before that fought in some kind of war, all the way to the Civil War. So I think I have a right to sleep there. Everybody has a fundamental right to sleep. I mean, sleep is a right, not a privilege. For the yuppies and people with houses, stuff like that. A lot of these people who get their houses foreclosed and stuff like that, they're going to end up being my neighbor if they're not sleeping in their cars. And the city council, all that have made it a living hell for somebody homeless here. There's nowhere to go. They're getting tickets for sitting down or sleeping, even in the park in the daytime. They're getting tickets. They're trying to run everybody out of town. But the reality is a lot of people are going to join the ranks of the homeless unless this madness stops or stuff like that. Not necessarily the Gulf oil. I mean, it's just everything is just, it seems like everything is cascading and crumbling, and it's a great opportunity now to let some of this stuff fall down and rebuild and do something different, you know, like especially with clean energy. Mm-hmm. And there's jobs in that. Teach people how to, solar case. I took a class in Cabrillo. I know how to install water heating systems on roofs, the solar power and stuff like that. But there needs to be more incentives for jobs like that, and people homeless or people that going some transitional crisis where they lost their cushy $75,000 or $100,000 a year yuppie job. Now they probably be happy with a $30,000 a year job or $40,000 a year job growing organic vegetables.
For sure, Mike. You say you've been in and out of sober and drugged states and so forth.
Oh, yes. I was born an alcoholic. My mother drank all the way into labor, and I was in the military. I had a bad alcohol problem. When I got out of the military, it got exacerbated by, I had mental health issues there. They was going to discharge me. But before they discharged me, I just went diddy mile. I couldn't take anymore. So I kind of muddied the water of my own future because I got a bad kind of discharge, but all that's going to get changed. But it was mainly the alcohol and drugs. I was using that to cope. When I came to Santa Cruz, it was just the only way to cope was to kind of numb yourself and to endure
But you're at the moment, you're off of it, I understand, right? You're off of everything.
I went to a Salvation Army program. I'm clean and sober 22 months. I'm getting my life together slowly but surely. You know, it took 50 years to get it this destroyed. It's not going to magically get better overnight. I realized
that. You sound like a really bright guy. And you sound like you're headed in the right direction, obviously. Now, what do you hope will happen when, as far as you're concerned personally?
Well, they're getting some bets on the fast track for low-income housing, so I'm thinking about July, August, there should be some more vouchers to give homeless vets on the fast track.
So now you're a street person, basically. You say you sleep where the rats do. Is that right?
Yeah, well, see, they got a right to sleep there. It's a nature reserve. So they come down, and everybody came to my camp and left me a little note telling me I had to leave. That was a month ago. I'm not going anywhere.
By the way, would you mind talking to people if they have questions for you?
I don't mind.
I think it would be fascinating. I'll lock you in here. Maybe you and I can we can stay on with us for a while. If you want to talk to Mike, who is a real live homeless person and a vet, I'd love for you to call and join in the conversation at 479-1080. That's area 831. It's the Saturday special on AM 1080 KSCO. And so, Mike, you've been to the homeless shelter. Have you been kicked out of the homeless shelter? I mean, will they not have you for some reason?
I got kicked out once. I had the police come in. And they put a restraining order on me. And guess what my crime was?
Oh.
I wanted to sit up and read at night. I went outside, and I was sitting outside to read. And one of these guys, you know, you give them a job. Some of these people like King Kong, you know, they think, they got a little job working for the homeless shelter. And now they're better than everybody else, and they can just make people's life a living hell, and they got this Napoleon complex or whatever complex they got, they're just dealing with mental health issues themselves. The guy wanted me to go to bed. I said, look, I just got off of work. I'm staying in the shelter. I can't sleep right now. I'm just going to read a little bit till I get tired, and I'm going to go to bed. No, he didn't wasn't having. I had to stop what I was doing and go to bed right now. So, look, I'm not your punk. I'm not your kid. You can't talk to me like I'm a full-grown man. So next thing I know, here's the police kicking me out of there, so I couldn't go there. But I wouldn't want to be around these these damn rejects anyway. A lot of them are on speed. They're on meth. They're doing heroin. I know so many people for years. I've been living in Santa Cruz homeless 20 years. I know damn near every homeless person here in town, and a lot of homeless people make their own situation worse, and they make turn the community against them by what the things they do. Instead of trying to see that this is a problem, it's not going to be. They don't see the big picture that what's going to happen when they're 60, 70 years old, and they can't be doing this when they're 60, 70 years old. They're going to kill them. A lot of my friends are dead now because of the streets. They've either hypothermia, like boxy
building. Yeah, I can't imagine it. Even in a relatively temperate climate that we have here.
Oh yeah.
Blows me away.
All it has to do is get 52 degrees. Your core temperature drops a few degrees. You're drunk. You'll sleep. You don't have a blanket on you. You get hypothermia. You die in your sleep. That happened to some of my friends. Some of them been murdered. Some of them overdosed. Some of them, their liver's going out from drinking. They just caught in this vicious cycle, this never-ending vicious cycle. They don't see no way out. I mean, there's almost no way out. It's just like they're living from day to day. They have to get pushed and moved on by the police every time. Somebody sees it. They try to lay down and just rest for a minute. Some of them living like turtles with their whole world on their back and not knowing from one night to the next where they're going to sleep at safely. They have to worry about some troll busters setting them on fire in their sleeping bag or beating them up, whatever. I pity some fools try to do that to me. But it does help a lot. Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. We're listening.
I'm using a payphone because the county building, the x-ray machine.
Oh, yeah, I was wondering.
The x-ray machine fried my phone.
Oh, okay. So can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, good. So are they going to – do you have to put more money in the coin
phone? I did it already.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, I'm using a payphone. It's a good payphone here. It's only a 50-cent payphone in probably Santa Cruz. It's at the 7-Eleven at Swift and Mission.
I haven't seen a payphone in Santa Cruz. I haven't even noticed payphones anywhere. I was going to ask you for your cell number off the air that we can get in touch with you and you don't have a cell.
I have another one.
I
left it at my kid's house. 334.
Oh, no, not on the air.
Oh, okay. Off the air. Okay.
I'll put you on hold before we ring off here and you can give your that phone number. That normally connects to you.
Yes, I have two of them. I left one phone at my kid's house, but thank God. Probably.
So you have kids in this area.
I have a 10-year-old son, and he lives in Corralitos.
With his mom, presumably.
Yeah, he lives with his mom. When he was younger, I thought it was funny camping out with dad in the rain and the cold and all that. But then he got a little older, and it was just no fun at all. He doesn't like it. He'd rather be playing video games, watching TV, or doing something. You know, he liked to hang out with dad, but I had a little place for a few months. This last winter was really rough on a lot of homeless people. There was this
Rory in Watsonville wants to talk to you, and I think Millie in Santa Cruz does also. They're on hold.
Okay.
But I want to ask you a question before, real quick here. How did you discover KSCO, and how long have you been listening?
I've been listening to KSCO, KGO. I got turned on like News Talk 10, 15 years ago. I never used to call in. For one thing, I didn't have a phone, and then when I did have a phone, it was like limited. It was always a power problem. I had either pay by the minutes or the battery power keeping it charged up.
Sure.
Now that I have a laptop and stuff like that, I could charge it up. If I run out of battery, I've got other things I could charge my phone up. I could stay in the
bush. So you must have some income for you to have a cell phone and a laptop.
Oh, I work sometimes.
If not your own place.
Oh no, I get Social Security. I get a measly $800-some a month. But that's not much. But it's something. It's an income. And if I wanted to, I could spend majority of that staying in some place like the Stag Hotel in Watsonville, where they got a lot of really weirdos there, sick people there, paying $400 or $500 a month to stay in a little room the size of some people's closet. I'm claustrophobic too. I can't stand being that closed up in a small place like that. I prefer to be in the outdoors or having my own place. I'm getting too old. I'm 52 years old, so. It used to be funny when I was drunk and stupid, and I could ignore all the, and just numb myself with my Nepenthe of alcohol and drugs.
Yeah.
But now that I'm clean and sober, or I'm, in order to stay clean and sober, I can see that it's not going to be sustainable for me to keep living on the street, I'm gonna have to. I mean, it's like walking up a down escalator. You have to keep moving in order to go somewhere. If you just stop, you're gonna go backwards. You know.
Mike, we need to know how to get in touch with you. I'm gonna put our caller Rory from Watsonville on with us right now. I'm gonna conference him in. Rory, you're on with Mike in Santa Cruz. He calls himself Mad Mike. I just want to call him Mike, but we'll come up with a different name for him.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Michael. And and Mike in Santa Cruz, I like you. I like your style. I guess what I like to hear is your wisdom after coming through what you've come through. So God bless you.
Thank you.
And may it keep you. One thing that triggered my call was that you talked about people not working in the field. And I agree with you. I work in agriculture as my employment in consulting, just making sure the insects and diseases aren't getting out of control on the strawberries. But I had to tell you, my son, who's going to be a senior next year, he's got a summer job. He's actually working in the field with the other crews and pulling weed and blackberries and whatever else needs to be done. So there are kids that still work outside, and it's not beneath them. And I told them that. I make them weed at home. So, you know, we got a big old garden. And I think you're right. Kids need to get back to some basic understanding of where their food comes from. A little backbreaking labor isn't going to kill them.
No.
It's good for them.
It'll help them out. I mean, God, they're getting so namby-pamby weak. I mean, there's latte sipping, coffee shops, I mean, just laptops, cell phones, texting. I mean, well, they're living in some type of world where probably maybe we could have maybe 500 years from now where everybody's so enlightened and communication age. But right now, we still need the industrial part of the world to in order to sustain itself, like agriculture and stuff.
Well, and it's always going to have to happen. There's always going to be hard work to get our food. It's not, yes, much of it's mechanized, but it takes a lot of thinking, a lot of forethought. And you're right. There are a lot of young people are in a fantasy world of media, and they're out of touch. And those kids are going to fall behind in certain areas if they're not paying attention. So,
okay, you guys, guess what? We got the news coming up in fewer than 30 seconds. Thanks, Rory, for calling. Millie, stay on the line. Obviously, Mike, stay on the line. We want to hold you over in the next hour where we will continue this conversation and anything else on your caller's right to choose Saturday special. And we're also going to call it a Your Request Saturday special right here on your favorite radio station, AM 1080 KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, San Jose. It's 11 a.m.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen Riegel. Tar balls have been spotted washing ashore the white sands of Panama City Beach in Florida. This is the furthest east such damage has been reported in the wake of the Gulf of Mexico oil spill. Gulf businesses are just hoping to stay open. Pat Fahey runs the Ameripura Oyster Processing Company in Louisiana and just had to lay off 50 workers.
We could stay open, but we had so little product. To get this plant up and operating with 50 people every day costs you a certain amount of money. You need to do a certain amount of volume to be a viable business.
Layoffs on the Gulf Coast. Yacht racing in England for BP CEO Tony Hayward.
He is there to see his boat, Bob, take part in one of the world's largest yacht races. We called BP for comment on this to see what was going on, and reps told us that, in fact, their CEO and still designated point person on the Gulf disaster is taking what they called a well-earned private time.
That's Fox News' Laura Ingle in Louisiana. Republicans use their weekly address to take President Obama to task. The GOP says he is not doing enough to help the people in the Gulf.
In his speech Tuesday night, President Obama made it clear that he intends to exploit this crisis to push his liberal agenda.
Mississippi Senator Roger Wicker. President Obama called on lawmakers to allow debate or a vote on upping the liability BP could face. The president says the GOP stalls far too much.
What we need is a willingness in Washington to put the public's interest first. A willingness to score fewer political points so that we can start solving more problems.
The president says lawmakers are also blocking the extension of unemployment benefits. Tropical storm Celia is swirling about 355 miles off the coast of Mexico. The newly formed storm has winds of about 40 miles an hour. It's not expected to hit land. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
connected to Fox News Radio for your favorite talk shows, newscasts on the hour and half hour, and the podcasts that take you a step deeper inside of Fox News. Don't miss a single minute of Your World with Neil Cavuto daily by subscribing to the Daily Podcast.
I'm Neil Cavuto.
Get news and insight on Wall Street and other market activities, and get a wrap-up of the business news of the day.
Don't tell me about federal programs that stick to their budget. They don't.
It's Cavuto, when you want it and where you want it. Subscribe now by going to foxnewsradio.com and click on the podcast button for Your World with Neil Cavuto. And check out other Fox News Radio podcasts, including John Gibson's My Word.
Hi, I'm John Gibson. You can get My Word every day for no holds barred opinion on the big stories of the day. Gibson, when and where you want at foxnewsradio.com. Just click on the podcast button.
Thousands are still without lights in four Midwestern states right now after severe thunderstorms hit the area last night. Those storms blew out the windows in the 110-story former Sears Tower in Chicago. Outside Detroit, the winds were so strong they slammed a car into a tree, killing a driver. Illinois, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Indiana all reporting people in the dark. Things are not getting better in Afghanistan.
The security situation in Afghanistan has not improved. That from a quarterly report from the UN, which says roadside bombings and assassinations have soared in the first 4 months of this year. Secretary General Ban Ki-moon says roadside bombings are up 94%. A NATO spokesman says tough fighting will continue for a while, but despite the report, the international force is making steady strides. Lori London, Fox News Radio.
Meantime, 17 Afghans training with the U.S. have gone missing, and some lawmakers back here in the U.S. want to know more.
Texas Republican John Cornyn has written to the Air Force Secretary demanding an immediate report on what he calls a serious violation of security, while Republican Congressman Lamar Smith is urging the federal government to track down the men right away.
They are from a country that unfortunately has individuals that are not always loyal or committed to the United States of America and what we're trying to accomplish there.
The AWOL Afghans were learning English at Lackland Air Force Base near San Antonio while training to be military pilots. They disappeared over the last 18 months, but at least seven have already been found. In Washington, Malini Wilkes, Fox News Radio.
The story of Toy Story isn't over yet. Toy Story 3 is on track to rake in at least $100 million on its opening weekend. The animated flick from Disney's Pixar Animation took in $41 million on Friday. Starring Tom Hanks and Tim Allen, the movie could join Shrek 2 and Shrek the Third as the only animated movies to bring in $100 million on their opening weekends. Karen Riegel, Fox News Radio.
Good morning, everyone. You're tuned in to KSTO 1080. I'm Nikki James. I've got your Central Coast forecast for the weekend here. Today we got partly cloudy, high of 65. The west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 48. The west-northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Sunday, partly cloudy, high of 69. It'll get sunny a little later in the afternoon with the west-northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Out on the Monterey Bay, the west winds 10 to 20 knots, wind waves 2 to 4 feet, and a west swell of 3 to 5 feet at 8 seconds. Tonight out there, the northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, west swell 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds. And on Sunday, west winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less with a west swell at 2 to 4 feet at 9 seconds. And for your KSEO King of the Hill traffic update, doesn't look like I have anything to report at the moment, but if you see something out there, give me a call, 475-1080, so I can warn all your fellow drivers. The current temperature in Salinas is 57 degrees. In Watsonville, it's 58. And in Monterey, it's 55 degrees. We are at 65 here in Santa Cruz, right outside KSEO Studios. Official time is 11:06 and 33 seconds on this Saturday, June 19th, 2010. Up next, we have the second hour of the Saturday special with MZ. Stay tuned. KSEO Santa Cruz, I'm Nikki James.
Hey, Nikki.
Hey, Michael.
Okay, so we're back with another hour of Saturday special. And
yay.
We have a world premiere, a case commentary coming up.
Oh, we sure do.
Oh, good. Okay. Well, let's make it official by playing the telephone ringing second hour jingle here, you know, and let's just...
Oh, hello. Oh,
hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but... I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back.
I've always wanted to have a homeless person host the Saturday special, and we're getting to that point today. We've got Mike on from Santa Cruz, and he's answering all kinds of questions for us.
I'm sorry, baby, but I really gotta go to KSCO Radio. Bye.
7 minutes past 11 on AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station. And if it's not, what's wrong with you? It's MZ with hour number two of the Saturday special. No topic or guest in particular today, although it has evolved into a co-host slash guest of a gentleman named Mike, who at the moment is living on the streets in Santa Cruz and... or actually in a nature reserve with the rats, as he says, because rats have a right to sleep, and so does he. And I don't mean to make light of this. I think this is a very serious, especially since Mike is a Vietnam vet? Mike, let's bring you up here real quick here. Put you back on the air here. You're a Vietnam vet, am I right?
No, Vietnam era. I joined the military in 1975 and I got out in 1986. So I was in
Yeah, because so the Vietnam War was already over by then. But yeah, well, nonetheless, thank you very much for serving your country. And I think it's terrible that you are in the situation or that you have been in the situation. You're obviously getting your life back together. And we have a commentary from my mother Kay's Whirling coming up. It's a brand new one, so I'm going to ask Nikki to play that right now. When we come back, Millie in Santa Cruz is waiting to ask you a question, and anybody else who might want to talk to Mike, now is the time to call 479-1080 in area 831, and we'll see if we can keep you on for a little while longer, for as long as people seem to want to participate. Anyhow, for right now, let's hear the new K's commentary.
The following is a KSCO commentary. Here is K's Whirling.
Only an entrenched, irresponsible Congress, urged by an irresponsible president, would vote into law an irresponsible health care reform bill of over 2,000 pages, which nobody in Congress read before voting for it, and which will bankrupt and destroy our country. We the people must finally demand term limits. Last week, local resident Bob Leslie offered creative, sensible ideas about changes in our government, focusing on term limits and states' rights. Now, another concerned citizen who believes states' rights and term limits are a must came up with other creative ideas, calling it the Congressional Reform Act of 2009. So let's examine the ideas in this Reform Act, and maybe a groundswell of citizens will get started on congressional changes from both of these Americans' ideas. Senators could introduce the bill in the U.S. Senate, and representatives could introduce a similar bill in the U.S. House. These people could become American heroes. These ideas are from a modest fellow who calls himself merely a fellow American. And here are his eight concise reforms. Number one, term limits, 12 years only for each person in office. I would limit it to 6 years per person for the Senate and 6 years per person for the House, because serving in Congress is an honor, not a career. The Founding Fathers envisioned citizen legislators serve your term, then go home and back to work. Number two, no tenure, no pension. Congress will collect a salary while in office and none when out of office. Number three, Congress, past, present, and future, participate in Social Security. All funds in the Congressional Retirement Fund moved to the Social Security system, where Congress participates equally with the American people. Number four, Congress can purchase their own retirement plan, just as the rest of us do. Number five, Congress will no longer vote themselves a pay raise. Congressional pay will rise by the lower of CPI or 3%. Number six, Congress loses their current health care system, poor babies, and participate in the same health care system as they created for we the people. Number seven, Congress must equally abide in and by all laws they impose on the rest of us. Remember, serving in Congress is an honor, not a career. The Founding Fathers envisioned citizen legislators serve your term, then go home and back to work. And finally, number eight, all contracts with past and present congresspersons are void, effective 1/01/2010, because the American people did not make contracts with congressmen. Congressmen made all these contracts and deals among themselves. P.S. Let's limit lawyers to no more than 15 or 20% of the congressional membership. To conclude, I say kudos to this modest American who proclaims, quote, "It is my sole intent not to make anyone mad with this email, but instead to make people think. We need to get our freedoms back before it is too late," unquote. And I say, let's go for it. Let's take portions of Bob Leslie's proposals and combine them with this one, and together we can take back our country. It can be done. For KSCO, this is Kay Swirling.
Commentary that should run for several days. Okay, it's the Saturday special, hour number two thereof, and it's MZ and you, the callers. For our phone number for your participation is 479-1080. We've been talking with Mike for about the last 10, 15 minutes of last hour. Hello? Mike is a fascinating individual. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this. You were talking about the homeless shelter. It's just kind of puts a Band-Aid on almost an amputated leg or two, something like that. It helps in a way to give people a place to take a shower. That's important. You know, try to go for a job interview. You don't want to be smelling like the bush or whatever. You know, you need a shower. Help them out with cell phones and a mailing address. And also, what I believe is some job training.
Sure.
Job training, doing something. And agriculture is a good one. We already got the homeless garden project in place.
Mike, excuse me. Millie's been waiting a long time. I invited callers to call in to ask who might want to ask you questions. So let's bring her on right now. She said she wanted to ask you a quick question here. Okay, Millie in Santa Cruz. You're on with Mike in Santa Cruz.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
And I wanted to say that I love that KSCO's theme song that's so soothing. It's from the era I like that music.
Oh, okay, great, yeah.
I just wanted to ask you, with your knowledge and experience, I guess it's the River Street Shelter, where they serve really good food, don't they?
Me?
Yeah.
I'm on air.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. Well,
I was there once as an experience with someone I know that's homeless who took me there, and the food was really excellent. But what I want to say is that he told me, and I don't know if it's true and if it's just a guess, and I would want to know your opinion, that even with all that healthy food, that about 80% of the homeless people are on psychiatric drugs, which can limit your lifespan by 15 to 20 years.
How are they on drugs? I mean, is it through the shelter?
No, but I mean that they have incomes or whatever, but they're on psychiatric drugs. Is that true or is that not true?
Yeah, Mike, what do you know about that?
I know some people who are homeless who are on psychiatric medication, who plugged into Santa Cruz County Mental Health.
But that's a few of them. Most of them now are getting help. They're getting into transitional housing, and they're getting. I know some of them who are getting their life back together. They have to take most of their. Some of them get Social Security. They have to take most of their check or the income, whatever, to do that. But the majority of people who go to the River Street Shelter are not on psych meds. They're on hardcore illegal street drugs such as heroin, cocaine, meth, stuff like that, Oxycontin, stuff like that. And it's sort of like they, instead of using the place as of, I guess it was intended to be used as a way to help you out, to take a shower, to clean, to get leave your stuff there so you can go look for work or something like that. They use it now as just a little way station where they can come in and rest a little bit on a night. If they've been out 3 or 4 days tweaking on meth, and use that to come down, take a shower, eat, and then they go back out, they get some money, go back out and do the same thing again. So a lot of them are not on psych meds unless the psych meds can get them high. That's when they would take something like that, like the Wellbutrin. They abuse that. They abuse Wellbutrin. I have to turn the radio off. And they abuse psychiatric drugs, but not just on psychiatric drugs. Most of the homeless people who are using that shelter are, just so I had to call it as it is, because I know these people.
Okay.
They're junkies.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that. I mean, glad to hear your information about psych drugs.
Right.
Okay.
Millie, thanks for calling.
You're 479-1080.
That opens up a line if you want to talk to Mike, who is an experienced homeless person and is currently homeless, but is well on his way to getting his life back together here. You can give us a call at 479-1080. It's the Saturday special. We're in the second hour thereof. Margaret in Santa Cruz, you're on with Mike.
Whoa. Hi, Mike. Hi, MZ.
Hi there.
I really have compassion for this young man and so many in Santa Cruz that are homeless. However, why is it that the city council is so brutal in their attitude and mentality towards these homeless people, and yet they advertise all over the world that we're the sanctuary city? So in point, what they are saying is break federal laws, invade borders, whatever you got to do, because we are the golden ring for you to go get your goals and come here.
That's a good
and
point.
Then once
it's,
you're here,
yeah.
then they drop kick your butt all over town. You can't even sleep in this town.
No, they made sleep a crime, and sleep is not a crime. They give you nowhere to go. They want you to keep moving on. I was telling either Howell Ginsberg or KRXA or someone, maybe it was Charlie Freeman. But there's some places, restaurants in Carmel, that I can't even go to, that a dog could go to. If I walked in with my backpack on looking like I'm homeless, even no matter how much money I got, credit cards, they're going to tell me to leave. But they bring your dogs over there. That, you know, places like in the park, Lighthouse Field, people over there bring their pooches over there, pooping all over the place. Somebody homeless hanging out there, something like that, whether they sleep or not, park rangers come up and tell them to move on or give restraining orders on them where they can't even be there.
They advertise, they entice, they encourage and promote homeless people into our city. And then once you're here, boy, they put it to you, don't they?
You're talking about the sanctuary thing where illegal aliens can be here illegal and not to worry about getting jacked by the police or something for being here illegal. That's what you're talking about, sanctuary?
Yes, and they leave the illegals alone more so than they do the American vet.
Yeah. That's
right.
They do.
What's wrong with this picture?
It's something intrinsically wrong with this picture. And it's with the city council, Neil Coonerty, Big Bird-looking woman. What's her name? Cynthia Matthews?
Yes.
Mike Rockins, oligarchy who's been running this county the way they see fit. And they want it to be like Carmel or San Jose by the sea. They want all the yuppies. They don't want people to come here and shop till they drop. They want a tourist thing. They don't want the people to know the ugly little truth that they got a really bad homeless problem here. They just try to sweep that under the rug. The homeless got nowhere to go. They're human beings. They're Americans too. Some of them are vets. Some of them,
yes,
you know,
sir.
And they have less rights than a damn rat. Like I live in a nature reserve. It's mountain lions, raccoons, birds, you name it, rats.
Yeah.
That rat has more right to be there. He's not being bothered by anyone. Of course, he's being hunted by his predators. But that rat has more right to be where he's at than I do. And that's a damn shame.
Yeah, and then the point is they invite people from other countries to invade our borders and be homeless in this town and then just drop kick you like a dog.
Yeah.
Okay, you guys. Thanks for calling, Margaret. Appreciate your call.
God bless you.
Okay. Here's Rich in Salinas who presumably wants to talk to Mike also. Rich, you're on the air on KSCO.
Yeah, hi. I'm familiar with the homeless situation here.
Here in Salinas?
I used to work with Peace Kitchen as a volunteer and got to know a lot of...
Where are you talking about, Rich?
I remember one incident, the Burger King in Salinas on South Main discriminate against the homeless. What they do is they let the homeless go in and buy their food but wouldn't allow them to eat inside there. So you'd have to take it with you. And I talked to the assistant manager one night and I said, you know, if you want, I can get some of my friends to come down here and dress up as homeless people and we'll push this thing. If you want to discriminate against homeless people, we'll make sure we have a legal action going against you guys, because that's not right for somebody that can buy the food, whether they pay for a credit card or cash, and not allowed to sit there and eat it and enjoy it.
I agree with
you. And sometimes it was raining, too. So, I mean, it's just it's different situations, and the city of Salinas gives lip service to a lot of helping the homeless, too. I've heard them talk about it. I've talked to the mayor about it, and nothing really gets done. They push you around because they can, and that's the way it works.
Yeah. McDonald's did the same thing. They have free Wi-Fi. I came down there. I'm on my bike. I got a bike cart. I hook up my laptop. I buy some food. I get a coffee. And the moment they saw me on eating my food, trying to get online, they went back there and turned the Wi-Fi off. They've done this repeatedly. And then anybody else who come in there, look like a yuppie, a businessman, they leave the Wi-Fi on. They kind of discourage them. They want you to just keep moving on, like live like a turtle. As long as you keep moving on and don't stop, they kind of tolerate you. They look at you with a nasty eye, like, oh my God, look at this scumbag. But as long as you keep moving on, you kind of tolerate. The moment you sit down to try to have something to eat, the rest or whatever, then the police magically appear with a ticket book in hand, ready to get you for camping, like Miguel De Leon fighting.
Wow. Well,
they got the whole city council and the city attorney fighting this case in Santa Cruz Superior Court. Has been going on. They're trying to get them an injunction to bar them from the whole downtown area. And, you know, from incidents that, you know, them incidents of maybe they were sleeping or camping or whatever. But that's besides the point. They put in so much time, money, energy into trying to borrow these two people, because these two people, they want to win this case so they can have the right to, with impunity, and put injunctions on anybody to get them forced out of town. I guess they're going to start doing it with me pretty soon, because when they come down to my camp to evict me, I'm not going. I'm going to fight it. I call the place Camp Defiant, and I'm going to fight it because I think I have a right to stay. I don't want to homestead there. I don't want to live. I want to have a place to rest my head, a house, something like that. But
yeah, I'll give you another instance too. Where there's one of the guys I knew was also named was Mike, a homeless guy, and he used to stay up all night and then sleep during daytime. And he would use a bus stop at the end of town. They eventually got so tired of it, they actually took the bus stop away. So there's no place for him to sit and sleep.
Yeah.
I mean, that's how bad it got, you know, where they just removed the bus stop so nobody had a bus stop because he used it because he had to sleep at some point. You can't do it in nighttime. You're out there hustling to get some bottles or cans, if that's what they're doing, and then they sleep during the daytime. So it's amazing what the length they'll go to sometimes. And, you know, if you're driving on the road, they tell you if you're sleepy, pull over so you don't call an accident. But if you own a car and you're homeless and you're parked somewhere in the city, they don't want you to sleep in your vehicle.
No.
So they're going to tow your vehicle off because you're sleeping. Everybody.
They'll tow your vehicle off with you in it? Sleeping?
No, they won't tow you.
Oh, no, they'll keep out and tow your vehicle. So in other words, somebody who's actually got a vehicle that's moved up one step where they're actually mobile and they can get around instead of walking or riding a bike, then they tow your vehicle because you're sleeping in it.
That's right.
Park your, so the people that do make those steps up trying to get out of their situation, they put them right back down into it again.
Well, they do it because they don't want the place to be overloaded with people sleeping on benches
and things. And therefore, what they should do
things,
is, like,
I
think it's Santa Barbara or Santa Maria, they have a program down where at the end of the night, if you have a vehicle, there's places around the city, either with businesses or with the city itself, that you can park your vehicle overnight and sleep in it. And then during the daytime, you move on and do whatever you're going to do. Then it's back to the beginning that evening again. And it's set up, and it works real good down there. I think there's 90 participants in it currently down there. You can Google it on the web, on the Internet. And the program works good. It was set up. I'm trying to see if we can get one set up here in Salinas, for that matter. because I know a number of people that have RVs or trucks, and they sleep in their vehicles.
Yeah.
As long as you're not hassled, everything's fine. But eventually you're going to get caught. Somebody's going to see you. What happens, then you're told to move out. If you do it too often, you get your truck or your car towed, and you're out of luck.
That's what happens. I got a few of my vehicles taken away like that.
Yeah,
they got this big, that one parking garage downtown, we call it Death Star, on Front Street and, what is that, near Wells Fargo Bank, right across the street from, near the post office. That place could be used for people, like he just said. You can park there from hours of 9 or 10 to like 6 a.m. and then go. That would eliminate a lot of that problem with people, homeless people with their cars, and they want to be out of sight, out of mind, like that. But they don't do that.
There's plenty of empty parking lots.
Yeah, there's just empty parking lots during the night.
Here in Salinas, I don't know about in Santa Cruz, but they've got a big parking lot, and all you have to do is work with an organization like Salinas, Salvation Army. Let them use your parking lot at nighttime and be gone by 8 or 9 in the morning when they're in operation again.
Yeah, that's what they should do here in Santa Cruz. What they did was, illegally, a judge told them to stop doing this. Then magically these signs start appearing all over town about people parking from certain hours. That's just to keep people from sleeping in their cars like that.
That's right.
And I can sympathize it with restricted parking in places like by the boardwalk. There's residents there. They don't want all these tourists to come over there and take up all their parking spots, stuff like that. I can sympathize you have to have a permit parking around these areas, so like that. But they put these damn things in industrial areas. They're all the way up on Delaware, Swift, Mission, you name it. They don't want you to sleep anywhere. Like you said, in Nevada, I was driving one time drunk in Nevada for my car. I pulled over and I pulled over the side of the road and I went to sleep. I got woken up by a state trooper. He said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I was too drunk to drive and I figured I better get some sleep." He said, "That's a good idea. I'm gonna come and check on you later on, make sure you're all right and have a nice night." But
wow.
You tried that here in Santa Cruz. One Santa Cruz cop, I told him I was drunk, too drunk to drive, and I was tired, and I couldn't go. He made me move my car. He told me to get from downtown.
Wow.
I don't care where you go. I said, but I am legally drunk.
Did you get that guy's name?
I couldn't get his name. I was so damn mad. It was either do what he says or go to jail. And I was infuriated because I thought I was doing the right thing. Here I am exhausted. I'm too drunk to drive.
Right.
I'm living in my vehicle.
Rich, thanks for calling. We got a bunch of other callers who want to talk to Mike, okay?
Good luck, Mike.
Okay, here's Thor in Monterey. Thor, you're on with Mike and MZ.
Yeah, hi. I just want to call a little balance. I tend to be kind of anti-homeless. And I think Mike actually sounds more an exception than a lot of the homeless that I've encountered here in Monterey. I tend to find a lot of the homeless are unsanitary. They smell bad. They're mean people. They always trying to hit you up for money, and they come off nice. And then when you don't give them any money, then they will curse at you and threaten you. And I had situations with, as I was hanging out with some friends talking, and these homeless guys came and started hitting us up for some money, and then they were saying, like, well, you better not leave your car there because, you might find, some big scratch marks on it when you come back.
Wow.
And so I can see why some of the restaurants would not want to have homeless come in. Now, if you're, if you look like more like a backpacker and you're clean and you recently had a shower that morning, that might be okay. But, I've been... We have a situation in our library here. We have a lot of homeless that just come in there and camp out. And I can't even be in that area because the smell is horrendous. And I can see why they probably turn the Wi-Fi off, because they're probably concerned that you might go grab something to eat, but you're probably going to sit there all day and just dork around on the Internet. And personally, I think probably customers will probably be driven away seeing someone that's looks like a typical homeless person.
What do you think, Mike? What do you think, Mike, about that?
I was just checking my emails. I wasn't going to stay there. I had other things I was doing. I wasn't dirty. I take pride in keeping myself clean and clean clothes. I wash my clothes.
Thor's probably right. You could be the exception then. So
I think you're an exception. I think, and unfortunately, I'm afraid that the other typical homeless out there that are not like you are the ones that are basically have caused all the problems that are
Yeah.
That you're mucking up the water for you.
It is a few that's messing up, muddying the water for the many. But most of these people who are doing this have chronic mental health issues. They're not necessarily plugged into the Santa Cruz County mental health or the mental health system. Their problems go unabated. I mean, they're not getting any help. I know one person, I saw him yesterday, Lev. He's a Russian immigrant from here. And I watched him over the years from being homeless, chronically homeless, deteriorate to the point where he's shell-shocked. The man has been pushed by the police, move on, keep nowhere to sleep, nowhere to, he's a living dead. And it broke my heart to see him like that, that he's slipping through the crack, that he's not getting any help that he needs. We could spend over $1 trillion on these stupid wars in Afghanistan and Iraq, and we could have ended homeless as we know it, and not only in this country, but the whole, probably half the planet. And gave
I think there should be
condo,
there should be
maybe.
Help for people like that, but I also think that the police really should crack down on people that are spending the night in areas that are not approved for that.
Well, they got laws for that. They got loitering and trespassing laws for that. If you're sleeping in somebody's doorway downtown on the mall, okay, either you got mental health issues or you're just new in town and you don't know where to go. But there's places where you can go, where you can you can go down a levee, down a river somewhere and sleep out of sight, out of mind. You would think they would leave you alone. No, they don't. They come beat the bushes. I have to praise the police now for what they're doing. Now they're cracking down on all these gangs and stuff like that. I got a gun pulled on me by a gang member, Norteño, and now they're doing their job. They're dealing with these gangs. That's what they should be doing. They should be spending more time cracking down on the real crime and leaving people who are just trying to find a place to sleep alone.
Thor, we got to move on to some other callers, so thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Okay, thank you. That was Thor in Monterey. Here comes Downtown Al.
Hey, and I really live downtown. Now, Mike, you sound like a reasonable guy, but I don't know if any of you guys, including Mike, Michael's Whirling, have owned like a small business or retail thing. And, I don't want to hear people dissing businesses because those are people that pay taxes and drive the economy in a lot of ways and end up paying through those taxes for homeless services. And it is tough being a small business person with all the government restrictions and taxes that you need to pay. And if you have some homeless guy out front driving business away, it can really hurt. My brother-in-law owned a bicycle shop, and when I was like a teenager, it was in a rough section of town in Arizona. And my job was to go there in the morning, and the first thing I'd need to do is wake up all the drunks who were laying all over the front area there. If they weren't awake, I had to drag them down and prop them up in the alley and call the police, and the police were cool. Then I had to sweep up the broken glass from the bottles and then hose off the vomit. And then finally we were ready to open for business. If I wasn't attacked, I had a guy come after me with a claw hammer one time. Other times you'd be working on stuff. This one wino was so out of it, he'd steal stuff off the back and then come around to the front and try and sell it to you. So, it's hard to run a small business and, that's why I look for politicians that have actually had some sort of business, even if they've failed at it, because they have much more of an understanding about, what's necessary in the society. And this town is a mess. And, I live downtown, and I run on a levee and walk or go to businesses there all the time. And it is a pigsty right now.
Why do you live downtown if it's a pigsty downtown?
Because I happen to own property here. And I also spend time in Watsonville. I have a girlfriend there. But, when I had a business here in town, I'd be working my butt off, and then I'd walk maybe over to San Lorenzo Lumber, and there's a bunch of, Mexican guys there, a lot of them probably illegal, but they're waiting to work. And then you come across some white guy with a sign begging for money who isn't willing to work. And, there's kind of a disparity there. I'm totally against illegal immigration, but I also realize, these people want to work and are willing to work, and these other people just have their hands out. And, a lot of us are fed up about it. I don't think people should be inhumanely treated. I think there needs to be social services. Some of these people need to be in halfway houses or maybe institutionalized and say, hey, there is a certain thing about freedom of choice, but you're not doing anybody any good by being strung out on illegal drugs and trash in the levee that volunteers spend a lot of time cleaning up. It's a pigsty down there in the bushes. And the people have no respect for other people. If you run along the levee or I see older people walking along, they leave their bikes laying right in the path. They stand in these big groups smoking cigarettes and spitting on the sidewalk and throwing trash around right after it's been cleaned up. You know, that levee, just like Westcliff Drive and the boardwalk, is a draw for tourism. There's a lot of people who use that, and, you know, we need to keep that as something of a, you know, a clean, safe area for everybody, including the homeless, to walk along. And I'm not saying you're this way, Mike, because I know a lot of homeless guys that camp out in the Poganip or whatever, and they don't mess up their campsites. You never know that they were there. And a lot of times the cops will respect that because they realize, hey, this person's got their act together and they're not a threat to anybody. But I'd say the majority of them are pigs and bums who throw their trash all
over
the place.
Would you agree, Mike?
I agree to some extent because I know a lot of people, like you said, on this, they have no care, sympathy for anything or anybody they go. It's like a lot of homeless people subside and make eke out a little income by recycling. Right. They go in the trash and they just throw trash everywhere. They don't care and they make it. It's a few. They go in the bathroom of a restaurant. They go in there and they take a whole bath and they just mess up the whole bathroom. I come in the bathroom right after them. Maybe I need to wash my face and hands, but that's about the extent of it. But I end up cleaning up behind them just so. You know, especially up here, I'm on the west side.
Okay, you have reinforced what has been said many times. You are the exception, not the rule.
Yeah,
as a homeless person. I really think that until other homeless people are like you, Mike, I think you sort of need to expect the kind of treatment from society and from the authorities.
I'm trying to educate some of my homeless friends by going around telling them, hey, you know.
You're doing a great thing. How many of your homeless friends listen to our station?
Oh, believe it or not, a lot of them. And they listen
really?
To it right now. They tell me, I heard you on the radio, Mike, you know, and all that. And I'm saying, yeah, but you need to hear what I'm really saying. You know, you people, you got, like, a few times I had a camp where the park rangers and police showed up. They left me alone. They didn't find a cigarette butt on the ground. I'm a good steward of the earth. I used to be a Boy Scout. It's innate in me not to mess up my nest, so to speak.
Well, yeah. You know, Mike, what I would like to see you do, and it sounds like you're a great guy because you've identified a lot of things that I've seen and complained about, is there really should be like a code of conduct for like being homeless. And one of the first things is respect for other people. If you want to get respect, then you got to give respect. And, you know, it isn't just the homeless. I see this in kids and just, you know, yuppies and everybody else. But it's lack of respect for public property. I've been to, like, the Metro Center there, and I go in the bathroom, and the guy's trash in the area.
Or private
and,
property.
You know, I've told them, well, yeah, I know, but at least respect for public property
respect
that
all
everybody
property.
Uses.
Respect yeah. all property.
Well, yeah, but that's the one that they're normally using is the public property.
Yeah.
And that used to be a concept that was instilled in me as a kid about, hey, that's public property. You need to treat it carefully because a lot of people just think it's free and that you can just trash it. I'm not advocating trashing private property by any means. But, you know, I've chewed these guys out about it. I go, hey, have you ever cleaned a bathroom? You need to have respect for the janitor. Don't be throwing your towels
yeah.
all over the place, leaving the water running. We all pay for that. And what's going to happen is you close it down. You know, I grew up in California. It used to be you could find clean bathrooms just about everywhere. And, like, you know, as a five-year-old going back to Manhattan, I was, like, appalled back east when you had to pay for all of toilet stalls. So, you know.
Yeah, now most public toilets are disgraceful everywhere.
Yeah.
It's
so,
just terrible. Anyhow,
I'm
listen.
Sick and tired of it. I really am.
So are we all downtown.
And I would tell anybody, go take a walk on the levee and you tell me what you think right now in terms of, like, these big collections of people that, you know, I'm a big guy and I'm not afraid to mess with people. But, you know, running in the evenings there, because I know people that have been, like, you know, cold cocked as they're running by and things like that. I've started running with a pepper spray and it's the first time I've ever done that. Because, you know, I've been jumped by gangs and whatever, and this place is bad. It really is. I've spent a lot of time in
Oakland.
You
might think about selling your property downtown, Al.
I'm sorry?
You might think about selling your property.
No.
No?
Not
it's
right
not
now.
That bad, huh? Okay. All righty. Thanks very much for your call. Let's go to Joe and Marina. Joe, you're on the air on KSCO with Mike.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a shout-out to the First Methodist Church in Salinas. I found out about their area around Christmas time when people were coming in to the donut shop where I was at, and they were just totally out of it, needing a place to stay. And I went to take them downtown, and they pointed out the First Methodist Church, and they have some rooms there, and they have a TV room, they have cold breakfast, and they have counseling, and they've got lunch. They really treat you like a human being. So, you know, the pastor is wonderful. And
great. Well, thanks for sharing.
Yeah. We got a. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, we notice a lot of problems with homeless and homelessness and stuff like that. But, you know, instead of complaining, I'm thinking about solutions, you know, like what to do about it, you know. Not just addressing the issue, okay, it's a bunch of homeless people making it bad for everybody. And it's not just necessarily homeless. It's a lot of street people. It's kids. It's out-of-towners. They come, they go down the beach, they trash the beach. It has to be some homeless people there. They get the blame for it. It's not just necessarily homeless trash in the place. I've seen yuppies, the tourists, and stuff like that trash the place. But the homeless are inevitably going to get the blame for everything that goes around it, especially downtown merchants. Anytime there's an economic downturn, they use the homeless as a scapegoat for a reason why they're not making a profit. But the main reason is nobody wants to come downtown anymore because they're getting jacked by parking tickets. They're getting quality life. They can't sit anymore. They're taking all the benches off. They put these stupid penguins and artworks up where you can't even sit by them, panhandle, do any political table, play music. Downtown used to be for everybody, hippies. It used to be a nice atmosphere, but now it's become a hell. It's become a police state. You got these hostess walking around telling you got to keep moving on. One girl from UCSD told me she was smoking a cigarette on the mall. I said, don't you know that's illegal? You can get a ticket for that. She said, really? I said, yeah, they got an ordinance here. You can't smoke on the mall. She said, well, I was sitting on the ground tying my shoes here yesterday, and the police came and gave me a ticket for a loitering or something. She was sitting by a change machine tying her shoe. She's a UCSC student. She's not homeless at all. She's just downtown. And that's where it's become. People don't want to come downtown anymore, not necessarily because they're getting harassed by homeless or aggressive panhandling. It's because they're getting tickets, and then they get too many tickets. They get their car booted. They don't pay the debt. They go to collection. They get their driver's license taken away from them. Or they're having their dog crap somewhere or a dog in a place where dogs are not supposed to be at. That's what the main problem. That's an economic problem. People are spending more time at home.
I believe the law is you have to have a plastic glove or something to pick up your dog's crap with.
Yeah.
I believe that's true. Anyhow, Joe and Marina, thanks for calling. Jan in San Lorenzo Valley, thanks for waiting. You're on the air with Mike, homeless
yes.
Mike.
Hi, Mike and MZ.
Hi.
It seems to me that there should be some kind of a system where we can match up people who have jobs that they want to have done and people who want to work, like a call-in bulletin board. Maybe
well, how
put
about
Mike
KSCO? How about KSCO?
Yeah, you could have a number where you call, and you call one number to list something, and you call another one if you need a job. Like, you know, there's a lot of older people who can't do things, then they have certain things, maybe about three or four little jobs that they would like to have somebody come up and help with. And then you got all these people out there who need work, but we need to connect them together somehow.
And yeah, they got to be vetted, I guess, you know, because you might have some, you wouldn't want just any old body to become working at your property because they might come back
true.
Later on the next day and burglarize it
right.
Once they get the place.
That's true, but Mike, if you could be in charge of it through MC, you could screen people and tell them, you know, I mean, you could sign waivers or various things. Yeah, and I think Joe's right about the churches helping people to at least get cleaned up to a point where they can go out and maybe connect with this bulletin board and get a job and then work their way up again.
Yeah.
Okay, Jan, thanks for the great suggestion.
Yeah.
I think I cut Jan off. I didn't mean to do that. But Ann and Westside, you're on the air.
Yeah, I have a question. I was at a craft show in Campbell, and I just ran into a woman who was selling something and nobody was around, and she said, oh, where are you from? And I said, Santa Cruz. And she said, you know, my friend and I went there 2 weeks ago, and she said, I was appalled. She said, not only at the situation in your downtown, but she said, what they charge me for parking. And there's no parking. And it's really sad. I'd like to know, you know, Carmel is a tourist town. What do they do? I was just down, I was just downtown Carmel, and there were no homeless people hanging around, nothing like we have in Santa Cruz. And I think it's our city council, and they haven't really been hard enough. And Mike said that you can't do anything downtown. Well, the thing is, if you want our town to prosper and have people come and spend money to have homeless programs, then you have to clean up downtown.
Well,
I mean, the corner, the
that's
corner
certainly
of-
a legitimate perspective. What do you think, Mike?
I think that, she's right in a way. You don't want people, sitting on the benches with all their possessions there and, like basically homesteading downtown, trashing the place up, puking, vomiting, whatever they're doing. But some homeless people, you have to remember that a lot of them, I would have to say a good, I'm not a doctor, but I'm suffering from mental health issues myself. So I know, and I know some of these people from years, I've been here 20 some years. A lot of them, I would say 80% of them suffer from mental illnesses, anxiety attack, depression, paranoia, schizophrenic, and some of them can't, they need to be helped. They're falling through the crack. They're human beings too. They shouldn't just be swept in the garbage under the rug. They have a right to be down that mall just like anybody else, some yuppies, mall merchants who livelihood is down there to make money. I can understand that. I sympathize with that.
And I think we're going in circles, huh? Because you both have very good points.
Yeah, well, it's very unfortunate because I'm local, and the thing is that I know some people who've moved here recently, and they don't want to go downtown, and I have some friends that are going to be selling their home in Aptos, and they told their realtor that they didn't want to see anything within the city of Santa Cruz because of the city council and all the idiot things they do.
So why are they selling their home in Aptos? Aptos isn't Santa Cruz.
Well, the reason being is they have 2 acres, and they've gotten older, and the maintenance on it is really almost prohibitable.
Oh, yes.
And so they want to gear down to maybe a 2-bedroom, 1-bath,
gotcha.
Smaller house rather than the 4-bedroom, 2-acre place they have.
Right.
So it's really sad, and, you know, like, we want all these programs, but yet we're not welcoming any businesses in, like we couldn't have Kohl's and Home Depot out off of Swift because that would have created too much traffic. So Capitola, you know, got those. So it just doesn't seem logical because everybody complained about Costco, and all Costco's done is contributed money to our city.
Yeah.
So that's all I'm going to say. And it is very unfortunate. I feel sorry for homeless people, but also, too, I feel sorry for people who come here as tourists and have to put up with what we have downtown.
Yeah.
Appreciate your call to the Saturday special. It's 11:49 on AM 1080 KSCO, your favorite radio station and mine. It's MZ, hour number 2, the closing 11 minutes or so. Nikki, I believe we have a commercial break, and then we will come back and finish up the program. So stay with us, Monterey Bay, Silicon Valley. We will be back.
President Barack Obama says that state and local governments should have some say over gun control and that he believes in a common sense approach to gun control. However, translate the president's intentions. One thing is certain, it's going to cost a whole lot more to buy guns and ammo in the future. So before that future arrives, head to the giant TS Gun Show at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds on Tully Road in San Jose this weekend. You'll find everything under the sun for the hunter, sportsman, and collector, including guns, knives, antiques, military goods, sporting goods, books, coins, ammo, jewelry, cases, safes, and accessories. Go early to the Giant TS Gun Show for the best deals this Saturday from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Sunday from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Admission is just $8 per person, and children 12 and under get in free when accompanied by a parent or legal guardian. All local, state, and federal laws will be followed. It's going to cost a whole lot more to own handguns, rifles, and shotguns in the future, and the future is coming fast. So head to the Giant TS Gun Show this Saturday and Sunday at the Santa Clara County Fairgrounds and save big.
If you could create the perfect job, what would it be? Professional fly fisherman, cheese taster, maybe travel guide, mountain climber? Well, it just may be that the perfect job already exists, working right here at your local John Deere dealer. Think about it. You get to spend your whole day driving around on all our John Deere machines, like our Select Series lawn tractors, Easy Track mowers, compact utility tractors, and Gator utility vehicles, not to mention playing with our full line of John Deere attachments. And then you get to offer unbeatable financing and savings up to $400.
In fact, the only thing we can think of that would be better than working at a John Deere dealership would be shopping at one. So come visit Pringle Tractor, your local John Deere dealer today, and let's make this deer season even better than the last one. Pringle Tractor in Watsonville and Salinas, or online at PringleTractor.com.
And here we are at the California State Budget Demolition Derby, calling out to a fast starter Senate candidate, John Laird, who kapow, just squashed budget reform, unleashing a tidal wave of red ink. I've never seen anything like it. Ooh. As an assemblyman, John Laird ran the budget committee, where he blocked reforms that would have prevented California's budget meltdown and authored a $23 billion tax hike. Howard Jarvis, Taxpayers Association President, John Kupal.
John Laird also voted for billions of dollars in new spending, debt, and taxes. And while California sank deeper in debt, John Laird took a 17% pay raise for himself, then took a job on the state's waste board, where he collected $132,000 a year to attend just one meeting a month.
John Laird, wow, he's more than a fender bender. He's a one-man budget wrecking crew. Now, paid for by JobSpec, a bipartisan coalition of California employers, not authorized by a candidate or a candidate control committee.
Hi, Jacoby here, and I'd like to take a moment to tell you about the Peak Travel Group in San Jose for two reasons. One, I've been a client of theirs for over 25 years, and two, they paid for this commercial. But that's not important. Right now, what is important, that you know just how good these folks are. Now, don't get me wrong, there was a time when, like most of you, I went the internet route to save what I thought would be a couple of bucks and a little time. Well, I'm here to tell you that I couldn't have been more wrong. In fact, when I took time to compare, Peak Travel beat internet travel sites 70% of the time. And while a dollar here and there is important, there's no substitute for experience and peace of mind. Simply put, the folks at Peak Travel have been there and done that. No matter where you're headed, there's a good chance that a member of our staff has already been there. So whether it's terrific rates on cruises, custom-made vacations, or a business trip, do yourself a favor and call the Peak Travel Group at 800-999-2608. That's 800-999-2608. Or check out their website at peaktravel.com. The Peak Travel Group. Now we're getting some.
Here's respected community leader Bruce McPherson.
For 13 years, I worked across party lines to protect our coast and our way of life. Citizen legislator Sam Blakesley has exactly that kind of record. That's why I'm speaking out against politician John Laird's smear campaign against Sam Blakesley. The truth is, Sam Blakesley is the author of the successful Dream Initiative to protect our coastline. And he's working to remove oil drilling platforms to stop tragedies like the Gulf oil spill. Sam Blakesley bucked Sacramento's special interest lobby by fighting to ban expensive gifts to legislators. And he voted to invest $11 billion more in our schools to restore full funding once the economy recovers. So don't be misled by John Laird's partisan, deceitful campaign. Join me, Bruce McPherson, and vote for Sam Blakesley for state senate. He's working to fix what's wrong with Sacramento.
Paid for by Blakesley for Senate 2010.
Hi, this is Mike Jacoby, and I'm proud to say that I'm joining the Central Coast Veterans Cemetery Foundation to present a very special event. If you love golf, circle November 12th on your calendars and join us for the inaugural playing of the Heroes Open, a day of golf honoring lifetimes of commitment. The tournament is just the beginning of a journey that will culminate in a state military cemetery at Fort Ord. At the foundation, our dream is to establish a fitting resting place for our area's sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, neighbors and friends, all who have made the ultimate sacrifice. Tee-off is 11 a.m. and is limited to 30 foursomes. For updates and more information, please go to ccvcf.com and stay tuned to KSCO in the weeks to come. Oh, and keep it right here to join me on my show Raising the Standards on Saturday afternoon, July 3rd, from 3 until 5, as we pay tribute to America and talk with local veterans about this marvelous project. The Heroes Open, Friday, November 12, 2010. Their rest depends on you.
Well, I think we're back on. Yeah, final 4 minutes of the Saturday special, hour number two. We're talking with Homeless Mike in Santa Cruz. Let's bring him back up and lock him in.
Hello?
And, yeah, hi, Mike. You're back on with us.
Yeah, I just wanted where I could culminate this, end up this with a summary that I want
to. Yeah, we got two other people who want to talk to you,
right.
So why don't we do that first?
Okay.
Okay, and we'll have Steve in Aptos. Steve, you're on with Mike and MZ.
Hi.
Hey.
How you doing? I just want to say that I think the big problem, these things are all symptoms of a big problem that you touched on earlier, but it's the main thing, causing all these things is 90% of them most likely are on some sort of drugs, and they most likely will not become, unhomeless until they get off the drugs and they're able to get a job and keep a job. And I speak from experience. I was homeless years ago, and I was part of all these things you're talking about. And the only way that I got off the streets and became unhomeless was to get off the drugs. I've been clean for 13 years, and from that point on, my life got better and moved forward.
Mike is going down the same good path that you did, right? It's been a couple months, Mike, for you?
It's been 22 months.
Oh, 22? Oh, wow. I got
all right.
20 months
off. The problem is, it's the cost of living here. It's hard to find a place. You can't even rent a closet out in somebody's room or doghouse in somebody's backyard for under $500 a month. That's another problem. There's no availability of cheap housing or something
now,
like that.
That's what we have to do a whole Saturday special about, maybe next week.
And also, these people who are on drugs and alcohol, stuff like that, they need to get on a fast-track program. People who want to get off the street, who want to end their homelessness and sincere about it, they have to do something. They have to put their best foot forward to get off the street. They have to stop doing drugs and alcohol. They get the city some of the stimulus money and something to help them out, have a project where they can go on a fast track to get off the streets, have a place to stay and stuff like that, temporary, like transitional type housing so they can get back in the workforce. Because it's going to take some time. Some people have been chronically homeless for years. Then it's not going to magically, like for me, not going to magically happen overnight.
Mike's got a lot to say, right, Steve?
Yep.
So, thank you for calling, Steve. Here's John and Ben Lohman who wants to talk to Mike. Go ahead, John, you're on.
Hey. I was just wondering, why in Santa Cruz, everybody says that they're so, they have so much concern for the homeless and things like this, but yet how many people really open up their homes to homeless who have, big enough homes? Because I know that most of these shelters, it's like, from what I've heard, a lot of them are nightmares. I could understand why a lot of people wouldn't want to go there. But what about, individual homes or more small bases? It kind of reminds me of the whole bicycle thing in this town. Everybody says that you should drive a bike, but unless you're, a really healthy 20-year-old or something, you're probably going to get ran over by a car if you do. I mean, there's really not a whole lot of great places to ride a bike around here. And what is your experience, Mike, with people who open up their homes? Are there a lot of people in this town who open up their homes?
No, not really. Most people are lazy affairs. I think if they would have started this draft up, we would have ended the war a long time ago because you got the UCSC students who would scream bloody murder.
Hate to do this,
Gabe, yeah.
but the show is over.
Okay.
John and Ben Lohman, thanks for your call. Mike,
All right. Did
you leave your number with Nikki?
Yes, I did.
Okay, very good. I'm sure we'll be calling you again. Thank you very much for calling
you.
The Saturday special. Help
All
us
right.
make it a really good program. That's it, folks. Thank you, Nikki. Great job, as always. We have perspectives coming up, and I think we have a report from Mike Jacoby as well. It's your favorite radio station. See you next week.
That's all.
KSCO Santa Cruz, Salinas, Monterey, Santa.
Okay, he just faded right off. Okay, so we do have a KSCO coverage of the U.S. Open with Michael Jacoby here in a minute, and this is brought to you by Central Coast Veterans Cemetery Foundation, presenting the Heroes Open Golf Tournament November 12th to support the effort to develop a veterans cemetery at Ford Ord. The rest depends on you. And next, we're going to go live with Michael Jacoby, and he is, let's see, we got him. Michael, are you there? Hello? Uh-oh.
Nikki?
Yeah, there you are. Can you hear me?
Hello?
Uh-oh. Okay, you can't hear me, can you?
Hello?
All right. Hold on. Let me do something real quick. Here we go. I'm going to talk to him in a second. I'm going to...
Hi, this is Mike Jacoby, and I'm proud to say that I'm joining the Central Coast Veterans Cemetery Foundation to present a very special event. If you love golf, circle November 12th on your calendars and join us for the inaugural playing of the Heroes Open, a day of golf honoring lifetimes of commitment. The tournament is just the beginning of a journey that will culminate in a state military cemetery at Fort Ord. At the foundation, our dream is to establish a fitting resting place for our area's sons and daughters, mothers and fathers, neighbors and friends, all who have made the ultimate sacrifice. Tee off is 11 a.m. and is limited to 30 foursomes. For updates and more information, please go to ccvcf.com and stay tuned to KSCO in the weeks to come. Oh, and keep it right here to join me on my show Raising the Standards on Saturday afternoon, July 3rd, from 3 until 5, as we pay tribute to America and talk with local veterans about this marvelous project. The Heroes Open, Friday, November 12, 2010. Their rest depends on you.
Okay, and I had to switch mics there. Mike, are you there?
Yes, I am, Nikki. How are you?
Good. Sorry about that. A little delay.
Not a problem. And indeed we are, well, it's got to be 4 or 5 miles. We are indeed live from the 110th United States Open Championship down at Pebble Beach, and we're in that kind of gray area where we're waiting for the leaders to tee off. Tiger doesn't tee off until 1:30. He's 7 back. The leader, Graham McDowell, who's 3 under, will tee off with Dustin Johnson at 3:50. 3:40, Phil Mickelson and Kawashima also both at 1 under. So it's that kind of in-between area. And I'll tell you what, if the early scores on the course are indication of how tough the course is starting to play today, it is going to be a very long day. There's very little movement on the scoreboard for the early tee-off round, and the greens are getting harder. The sun, the overcast is lifting. The greens are drying up and getting a little crusty. It'll be very, very difficult to hold them and very difficult to get close to the pin. So it's exactly what the USGA loves, and as a spectator, not a golfer, but a spectator, you'll love it as well. We're going to have a hunt, and we'll see what's going to happen in the hours to come live from the U.S. Open at Pebble Beach for KSDO. I'm Mike Jacoby.
Hey, Mike, how's the weather out there?
Weather's just overcast. It's just starting to lift, starting to get a little warm, as I say. That just plays into the USGA's hands to make it a tougher course. The greens are already tough, but tomorrow is going to be extraordinary with the Sunday pin placements and the real dry greens. You got to wonder what's going to be a winning score, and Mike gets it somewhere even par or even 1 or 2 over.
Right on. Well, thanks so much for your report.
Talk to you soon.
Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye.
We thank Michael Jacoby for calling us every couple hours here and giving us an update. KSCO's coverage of the U.S. Open with Michael Jacoby is brought to you by Peak Travel Group in San Jose. When it comes to travel, there's no substitute for experience and peace of mind. When planning your travel, do yourself a favor and call Peak Travel at 1-800-999-2608. That's 1-800-999-2608. The Peak Travel Group, now we're getting somewhere. All right, and good afternoon, everyone. You are tuned in to KSCO 1080. I am Nikki James. I do have your Central Coast forecast here. Today it's going to be partly cloudy, high of 65. The west winds 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, partly cloudy, low of 48 with west-northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Sunday looks like partly cloudy, high of 69, clearing up later in the afternoon to mostly sunny with the west-northwest winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. And out on the Monterey Bay, the west winds 10 to 20 knots, wind waves 2 to 4 feet, west swell 3 to 5 feet at 8 seconds. with patchy fog. And tonight out there, the northwest winds 5 to 15 knots, wind waves 1 to 3 feet, west swell 2 to 4 feet at 8 seconds, and patchy fog again. On Sunday, the west winds 5 to 10 knots, wind waves 2 feet or less, with a west swell of 2 to 4 feet at 9 seconds. And for your KSCO King of the Hill traffic update, I do have a few things to report to you here. It looks like...